And I know that there's a lot of things we did yesterday, but I think a lot of us really feel like the kickoff of this conference is always Marshall's welcoming address. So Marshall Saunders, could you please join me up here?
My God. Met Mark in 1988, and I love Mark right away. So we are so lucky. I'm so lucky to have Mark. So the first thing here on my list is hello and welcome. And I thank God that you are here, every one of you. I'm so deeply appreciative that you're here. I'm talking about the person in your chair. Thank you for being here. You are a dream come true. You are a dream come true. Well, I'm going to tell you just a little bit about my early days of becoming a citizen's lobbyist, not a citizen's climate lobbyist, but I started out in hunger and poverty with my dear friend Sam Daly Harris. Is Sam around? Sam? Yeah, he's Sam. Sam started Results in a Phone Booth at the middle school in Miami. So I deeply admire Sam. Well, I'm going to, I began as a citizen lobbyist at Results, and we lobbied for hunger and poverty issues. That was about 21 years ago. And so I'm going to tell you two little stories that occurred about then, my beginnings of citizen lobbying. Just a couple of words about Citizens Climate Lobby, my very earliest thoughts about it, and then who we are. I'm going to be so bold as to say who you and I are. And then a quote, and I'll close with a quote. So, back in 1990, can everybody hear me well? Is it clear? Am I speaking loud enough and everything? Okay, good. Back in about 1994, I was just a new results partner, and the group leader called and said we had a meeting with the member of Congress. And so we walked into the member's office. There were six or seven results partners there, and they ushered us into the meeting room. And there were these very impressive, luxurious chairs. This is my first time ever meeting with a member of Congress. I'd seen one in the parade one time. And so we sat down on these very luxurious chairs, and promptly in comes the member of Congress, first one I had ever met. We all said hello and sat down. He was dressed in a dark blue suit and a conservative tie. And I was seated straight across from him. There was no table in between to protect me. And I looked, I could see his shoes, and then his shoes, I could count the overhead lights and the reflection in his shoes. And so I was nervous. As the meeting began, and the results partners began to talk, the only thing I could think about were my legs. Where should they be? They were, I noticed it that my legs were crossed at the ankles, and I thought, now that kind of looks goofy. And then, and I crossed them at the knees. I know that looks laid back. I can't do that. So I'm squirming around, and I don't know if he's looking at me or not. Meanwhile, the meeting is going on. I have no idea what's being said. Then there was a problem with my hands and arms. And I didn't know what to do with them. And I had them folded in my lap, and I thought, no, that's schoolboy. I shouldn't do that. So I put on, and I thought, put them on, yeah, right, on the arms of the chair. And the results partners were talking about different things, but I didn't know what they were talking about. I wasn't listening. And then I did notice that the lady next to me, I think it was Anne Marie Vorbach, she was beginning her talk, and I thought, well, I've got just enough time to run my talk through my head one more time. And that's when I discovered that I didn't remember what my talk was about. Really, I mean, I was stunned. It was a blank. And I said, Lord, if you'll just give me the first two words, I'll take it from there. But the Lord did not respond. And so then it was my turn. Now the room turned and looked at me, and I didn't know what to say. The group leader, Bruce Underhill, said, Marshall is going to talk about the microcredit bill in the House. I thought, oh yeah, the microcredit bill, right. Well, just a word for a group leader. Thank you very much. I'll never forget. So I practiced this thing too much, probably. So I started talking, and it really, really came out good. You know, like I was practiced up once I, so let me see. Mr. Bill Gray, I asked him at the end of my talk if he would co-sponsor a microcredit bill that was in the House at the time, and he said call back in a couple of days, and so I did, and he was going to sponsor the bill, co-sponsor the bill. And it was about $250 million. And a consequence of that, he co-sponsored that bill every year thereafter. We had to call him and tell him that it was time to put his name on it. But he did it every year he was in office. And then I'd had so much luck, I was asked to invite him to co-sponsor two tuberculosis bills. One was domestic, and then one was a global, and that was the beginning of the United States funding tuberculosis, and that bill, that later encompassed AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria. And that thing, last time I took a look, it was over $1 billion. And of course, it wasn't just Mr. Bilbray, it was my results partners all over the country having success and all working together in an organized, coordinated way. Here's us, again, back in 1995, I think this was my first effort at getting something published in the San Diego Union Tribune. For years, the San Diego Union Tribune had not published anything on results as issue. We might have gotten one letter to the editor 3 years before. It was just like that. And so the partners wanted to get angry placards and walk back and forth in front of headquarters. And I said, no, let's not do that. Let me see what I can do for a little while. And so I looked at the editorial page, which I had never done before. And I saw at the top was a guy by the name of Bob Kittle, the top editorial editor for the for that section of the paper, and I called him. He didn't answer the phone. I left him a nice message, and 2 days later, he still hadn't called me back. What's this? You know, it's like, I sent him an email, and we had an editorial packet. It was still done by the same guy, Steve, and he didn't call me back. No email back. And a few months later, there was another issue, and I called him again. Kittle, Marshall Saunders, blah blah blah. And 2 days later, still no call back. Well, I'm embarrassed to say that this went on for about a year and a half. And, maybe it was even 2 years. But there was this thing I thought about later. It's like, I was doing my job. He wasn't doing his job as I saw it. And I didn't have to talk to anybody. The group leader, again, God bless group leader, said, why don't you try calling somebody else? And being a well-trained volunteer, I thought, that's a good idea. I'll call somebody else. So I looked at the editorial section in the San Diego Union-Tribune. And the top guy was not Mr. Kittle, but rather it was a guy named Robert Caldwell. I called him up, and he answered the phone. It's the first guy I've ever spoken to at the San Diego Union-Tribune. And I started talking, and I got just a little bit into my laser talk, and he said, I was expecting an important call. And you're not it. I swallowed and I just kept talking. First guy I ever spoke to down there. So in a minute he said, stop reading to me. I said, Mr. Caldwell, I'm not reading to you, I'm just talking. And he kept me on the phone for an hour, almost an hour, just short of an hour. And this is the piece that he published in the Sunday section. This is the piece he published. Front and back of the editorial section of the paper. So let me see where I am. My results partners in other parts of the country were having success too. And that year, again, or that year we got $250 million, we got that microcredit bill up to $300 million a year. And by the way, the San Diego Union-Tribune delivered this. Sam wrote half of it, and I wrote the other half. And the San Diego Union-Tribune delivered that to 544,000 homes and businesses. And through all this, I was brand new at it. I was astonished at the power I had. Working with partners across the country and getting timely information from the staff. And this guy at the Indianapolis results partner calling on the Indianapolis Star, he was having great success. And that was an encouragement to me. And also the power of not giving up, and not giving up because the group leader was with me and the national calls were with me. And I could hardly believe all this was happening. I was astonished at the power that a real estate broker had. So now we're getting near the end of my talk, and I want to tell you just a little bit about my earliest thoughts of CCL, a little bit about who you and I are, and then I'm going to close with a quote, and I'll be done. So in the very beginning, when the idea of using the results methodology to preserve the climate first occurred to me, I knew, it's one of those things, you know it's the right thing to do. And it simply had to be done. And there was a question about whether or not I had the guts to stick out that far, risk myself that far. But I believe, so it was put up or shut up. My wife helps me with that sometime. I believe this is the most important work that humankind has ever been offered. And we are really honored by the opportunity to do this work. I used to think that the important people were taking care of the important problems. I don't think that anymore. And so it's up to us little people. It's up to us little people to preserve this climate and to preserve this civilization and this world. Now, there, I occasionally read an author, his name is Ron Smotherman. He's a fellow Texan. And I'm going to just tell you a couple of things that he said that are very important to me, and I have kind of learned this as I have gone along the way. Who we are, who you and I are, is truly magnificent. So magnificent that it puts all that other stuff that we are normally proud of totally in the shade. Who we really are is someone who literally aches to make a contribution to life. Someone who really wants it to matter that they have lived. What you and I do and do not do counts. What you and I do not do has a profound effect upon the world. And life asks for our full expression. And what underlies our willingness to risk ourselves to be fully expressed is love, L-O-V-E. And so, we're to love each other, love ourselves, love each other, love those who would oppose us, and really love for all of life. So, here's a quote, and I'll be done. This is from George Bernard Shaw, Man and Superman, Act 3. This is the true joy in life, the being used for a purpose, recognized by yourself as a mighty one, the being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community. And as long as I live, it is my privilege to do for it whatever I can. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die, for the harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life for its own sake. Life is no brief candle to me. It is a sort of splendid torch which I have got a hold of for the moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations.